find your way back to your seat, bring up your prayer cards. How many are praying for our miracle building? All right. We did go see a building last night. And papers for this building will be signed probably tomorrow or the next day. Amen. So things are underway. Amen. It's exciting. It's scary, but it's exciting. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. If you weren't here last week, and then we talked about faith. You need to get online and listen to it. Encourage you to have these things applied to your life. Amen? Amen. How many think you're pretty good at self-discipline? Uh-oh. Well, you're being honest, ain't you? We need to be better at it, don't we? You've heard me say often, this is what I want to talk about tonight. There's something to be said about doing the right thing. There's something to be said about doing the right thing. That's the title of my message tonight. So let me ask the question, why do some people seem to have more in their relationship with God, from their relationship with God, and through their relationship with God? Let me say it again. Why do some people seem to have more in their relationship with God, from their relationship with God, and through their relationship with God? Anybody want to take a stab at that? Yes. They put more into those areas of their life. Being obedient. Anybody else? Making the right choices. They're disciplined in their walk with God, and their things doing things to God. And their walk with God comes first. All right. Anybody else? Amen. What I have here, and those are all good, because they trust in God's capabilities more than their own capabilities. And they practice the faith and self-discipline of the Word. Until. Amen? They do it until, amen, God blesses. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Amen? I want to read it to you in a way that maybe it'll come alive to you. I want to read it from the Message Bible. But what happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others. Exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Pretty interesting, isn't it? See, when you study on the fruits of the Spirit, all of the fruits of the Spirit have a common thread. That thread binds them together. And what that thread is called commitment. Okay? I'll say it again. All the fruits of the Spirit have a common thread that bind them together, and that thread is commitment. The gifts of the Spirit are what we possess inwardly. And the fruit of the Spirit is what everyone else is supposed to see. Right? One of the last fruit of the Spirit talks about temperance. Temperance. What is temperance? Temperance is a moderation in action, a thought, a feeling, restraint. Habitual moderation in the indulgence of appetites or passions. You see, self-discipline or self-control, Paul listed as the ninth fruit of the Spirit, not by accident. Okay? We're talking about them being threaded together with commitment. And then we're talking about that through temperance. You see, Paul listed it at last, not by accident, because of the gifts, all the gifts requires discipline. But listing temperance, the final fruit of the Spirit, was genius, though, because the old says, there's an old saying that says, practice makes perfect. Paul used that well, didn't he? It has been said that to become great at something, it requires 10,000 hours of practice. Paul knew, folks, to achieve all the fruit of the Spirit, it would require lots of practice. Amen? Now, I'm not sure how many diets have been created to help us watch what goes into our mouth and into our bodies. Many, right? But the Lord instructed Paul to be mindful of what we let come out into our world and into the world around us. There is a great saying, it is better to remain ignorant and not speak than to speak and remove all doubt. Right? Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. David Jeremiah wrote in his book called A Life Beyond Amazing, he said this, self-discipline is choosing to do what is right when you feel like doing what's wrong. It's knowing you can, but decide you won't. It's the ability to maintain progress forward towards a goal even when you're not in the mood. Don't feel like making the effort. Would momentarily find something else to do more enjoyable or finding it just downright unpleasant. We got to do what's right. Amen? There's something to be said about doing what is right. Matthew 6:34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Have you ever heard the old saying, never put off till tomorrow what you can do today? You see, folks, clearly whoever coined that phrase wasn't thinking in spiritual terms, were they? If you're truly trusting God as your one true source, you shouldn't be concerned about the what ifs. See, the what ifs that accuser of the brethren, that enemy of the saints, throws that at us. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that takes? If you don't do this, then what if this comes? Let me ask you a question. Do you believe God's grace is greater than any problem we can ever face? Amen? If your answer was yes, then how can you give into fear or worry? You say, so Pastor, you're trying not to fear. You're saying not to fear. You're saying not to worry ever or ever at all. Or is that what you're saying, Pastor? Yes? But more importantly, God's word says it over and over and over. You know the words do not fear? You know how many times they appear in the Bible? Anybody? 365. Isn't that something? Do not worry. Do not fear. I'm sorry. Do not fear. 365 times in the Bible. Then tell me, why do so many people let so much stuff get to them all the time? Because we're not focused on the benefits our relationship with Jesus provides to us. We have to focus on the things that God has promised us. And when we focus on those things, then we will not fear. Amen? What we try to make it about everything else, don't we? When problems come and things arise, we try to make it about everything else except our dependency on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew 6, 31 through 33 says, therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The answer to stress-free, worry-free living is to seek God. Seek out what he wants you to do. Have you ever tried it? Seeking out God? Seeking out what he wants you to do? You might be shocked to find out what God wants for you. Maybe that's why some don't seek out the things of God. Because they're afraid what they will find. Wow, God wants me to do this. Listen to me today, folks. One word from God is all you need. That's it. One word from God is all that you need. If you will let him, folks, if you will give him a chance, he will show you his capabilities. A lot of people receive instruction. A lot of people receive a word from God and let it slip right through their fingers without ever having achieved the promise. Well, it's too hard. It's too this or it's too that. I could never be that person. Have you ever tried? Achieving a word, achieving a promise from God takes faith. Trust. It takes trust. It takes self-discipline to keep having faith and to keep trusting God until what, you ask? Well, until the promise comes to fruition. Why do some people seem to have more in their relationship with God, from their relationship with God, and through their relationship with God? Because they trust in God's capabilities more than their own capabilities. And they practice the faith, they practice the self-discipline of the Word of God until things come to fruition. Folks, God doesn't see people for who they are or for where they're at. Okay? God sees people for where they can be, where they can go. Amen? For what they will do if God gives them the opportunity. That's what God looks at. When he looks at each one of us, he says, if they'll let me, they can do this. If they let me, I can take them here. He don't want to save you and leave you where you're at. He wants you to move along. He says, and if they will let me, if they will serve me, if they will seek me, and they will have the disciplines in their life to do what I ask them to do, I can take them here. That's what God wants for each one of us tonight. God's capabilities, no matter where a person is in life, will take you places you've never dreamed of. You see, a word from God is more than enough to exceed every need and raise everyone willing to believe above their circumstances. One word from God changes lives. And do you know what, folks, God likes to do for us in our lives when we untie his hands with our faith? He'll do everything he can. If we'll just untie our faith for him. You see, David was a young boy. He was a shepherd boy taking care of his father's sheep. And then the prophet Samuel told him and his family, he's going to become a king. Now, I'm sure, folks, they're all sitting there scratching their head, especially David's brothers. And probably said, now, that would certainly be a stretch, or that would certainly be an impossibility. That's probably what they're thinking, listening to the prophet say, he's going to be a king. 1 Samuel 16:10-12 says, thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? Then he said, there remains yet the youngest. Some translations say there remains yet the runt. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And so they went, they sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. You see, David's family would never consider David as kingly material. But God saw something that they couldn't see, folks. God saw someone willing with a servant's heart. And folks, I believe that God is looking at each one of us here tonight and saying, untie the faith. Be committed. Be self-disciplined. And do the things that I ask you to do, and I'll take you places you never dreamed of. Probably most of the people that come through here as missionaries and different speakers, nobody probably ever dreamed. How many remember Brother Hurt? You know what? Where Brother Hurt was saved? In jail in Indianapolis. Nobody probably dreamed he'd be where he is today. See, folks, we have to untie these God's hands, untie that faith and say, God, I'm gonna do the things you asked me to do. I'm going to do what's right, even when I don't want to, even when I don't feel like it, even when I'd rather be doing something else. I'm going to discipline myself and do the things that God has asked me to do. 1 Samuel 16:13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. You see, many would say, yeah, but that was David, the giant killer. David was a great warrior. I would argue many have had God's shoes of opportunity placed before them, but they never step into them. You see, we could sit there and make excuses for why we're not being used of God all we want. But I dare say there's probably many of your relatives or your friends that you know are shocked that you're doing and living God for the way you are right now. Come on. Could you imagine God using you on a mission field? Or wherever God seems to take you. See, folks, many of us have probably had those shoes of opportunity placed right in front of us, and we overlook them. We never step into them because we're afraid of the commitment. See, although all the great heroic acts God had awaiting David in his life ready to take place, David still, folks, listen to me, all those things that David did and anointed as king and all these things, David still first had to take the step of faith into the journey that awaited him and the self-discipline to keep quiet until God's promise came to fruition. David was anointed king. He didn't go telling everybody. It was in God's time. See what I'm saying? There's a time when God calls you into things and God says, I want to use you in these areas, and God starts doing things and making things happen in your life. We don't need to go blabbing that to everybody. You just need to wait on God to open the door of opportunity. Come on. Amen. That takes self-discipline. That takes, hey, I got to trust in God, and it's got to be God's timing. We were called to Cleveland 5 years before we came. And we waited for God to open the door. In 1 Samuel 16:14-21, but the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servant who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that when he will play it with his hand, when distressing spirits from God is upon you, and you shall be well. And Saul said to his servants, provide me now a man who can play and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, listen to this. Look, I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, who is a skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, a prudent in speech, and a handsome person, and the Lord is with him. Therefore Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a skin of wine and a young goat and sent them by his son David to Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Look what God is doing. Bringing him places and putting him in places. Amen. Getting him ready. But David's not. David's self-disciplined. He's not saying, I'm going to be here someday. He's doing the things that he's supposed to be doing. He's doing the things that are asked of him. One word from God, folks, can take you from the pastures and occupation of a shepherd boy to being the right-hand man in the palace of the king. Charles Swindell said a young man had been promoted to an important position in his company. He'd never dreamed he'd be in such a position, much less at such a young age. So he went to see the venerable old-timer in the company and said, sir, I was wondering if you could give me some advice. The old-timer came back with just two words, right decisions. The young man had hoped for a bit more than this, so he said, thank you. That's really helpful, and I appreciate it, but could you be a little more specific? How do I make right decisions? The old man responded, experience. The young man said, well, that's just the point of my being here. I don't have the kind of experience I need. How do I get it? And the old man replied, wrong decisions. David was faced with the same situation. He would have to make his decisions wisely, and all of them would require the discipline of self-control. David needed, folks, the ability. He needed the wisdom to know when to say yes to opportunities like defending his nation against Goliath-sized requests, and no to the temptation of revealing God's promise before God's timing. With each day that passed, David's rise to be the king became more prevalent, and Saul's demise from power became more and more evident. And there are many times David could have let the cat out of the bag, but he didn't. David's self-discipline would be challenging many times along his path to the throne. You see, David eventually fled from the palace for his life and went on to run and elude attempt after attempt on his life as ordered by King Saul. In 1 Samuel 24:1-7, now it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men in the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. And David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, This is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off the corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterwards that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. See, David held on to the promise God had made him, and the faith and the self-discipline do not do what he might have felt or was certainly encouraged to do, but he wanted to do the right thing. And David, folks, was greatly rewarded for the diligence of his trust in God's ability instead of his own. You see, in this modern day and age in which we live, God wants us he wants us to understand that you or I are no different than David. David's circumstances are no different than your circumstances. God is not a respecter of persons or circumstances. If God makes a promise, he is well able to deliver his promise. Amen? You see, David could have done harm to Paul. He chose not to. He did, though, cut off the corner of the garment, which is somewhat like, when I think of that, I think of maybe you didn't kill your pastor. Maybe you're just slandering, or maybe you're just speaking against him, or whatever. David said, no, this is the anointed. He was self-disciplined. He was self-disciplined and doing what it did, what it took to get into the palace to play for Saul. He was on the run. He was being chased like a dog. I'm sure there was times when he just liked to see things done over with. But he said, no, I'm going to wait for God's timing. We have to understand that today. If you think things are wrong, you need to hold on until God takes and moves you or does whatever he needs to do in your life. Amen? We would have never came here to Cleveland without our pastor's approval. Amen? See, we have to wait on God's timing. There were things that came up during that time, that 5 years, that were like, God, and we know you called us. What's going on here? Why is this happening? You see, if God makes a promise, he is well able to deliver his promise. Have faith. And exercise self-control, exercise discipline until the timing is right for God to deliver his promise. Ephesians 3:20 through 21, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Folks, our prayers should be that the fruit of the Spirit flows on us, through us, and out of us. Amen? As we walk in relationship with God, knowing that anything and everything is possible. It's all anything and everything is possible on the journey to the destiny that God has for us. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Just do the right thing. It's not easy. Nobody ever said it was easy. But just do the right thing. Amen. I want God pleased with me, don't you? Amen. I don't ever want to disappoint my God. Amen. And so I just want to do what is right. And if you just do what is right, God will bless you. Amen. You'll come out where God wants you to be. Amen. Lord, we love you. We appreciate you. We ask God that you just bless and move, touch every heart here. Help us as we leave, God, to apply this to our life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.